in kindergarten, and it was a Sunday morning, and I was coming out of the kindergarten Sunday school class at Walnut Hill Methodist Church in Dallas, looking for Mom. And you know, kids, when they get in a hurry and they get to running, they're not paying too much attention to what they're doing. And I came running out of the classroom and running down the hall. I'm not supposed to be running, Greg. Running out of the classroom, running down the hall. Tripped over a step, flat on my face. Get up, look around, see a group of women standing over in a corner talking with each other. Think I see Mom and go running, tearing towards her. Up to her, throw my arms around her legs, and cry into her lap. And about, I don't know how long later, a few seconds, 30 seconds, I don't know how long, I look up, and it's not Mom. And I start looking around for Mom. And the woman looking down at me starts laughing. I mean, she starts laughing real big. And I'm looking around for Mom, and I spot Mom standing on the other side of the passel of ladies. And so I go running to her and throw my arms around her and then get behind her. Try to put her between me and them, and especially the woman that I had put my arms around as a, thinking it was Mom. Now move forward in time to 1991, from across 30 years of time. I'm standing at the reception after my ordination, saying hello to people, most of whom I'd never met, some I had met, family and friends, loved ones, friends from school, friends from college, members of my home church. And up to me walks a lady. She's about this tall. She's gray-haired. She looks at me and she has this big grin on her face. She says, I want to tell you a story. You know the story. She says, there was once a little boy who came running out of a Sunday school class, fell flat on his face, got up and ran over thinking I was his mommy. He threw his arms around my legs. That was you. And I says, I remember you, but you're a lot shorter than you used to be. She says, no, you're a lot taller, and you're making me feel very old and very proud today. Sometimes we go in search of God, and we don't know what we're looking for. A lap to crawl into, an arm to go around us to comfort us in difficult times, a shoulder to cry on, an ear to listen, hands to help, lips to speak words of comfort. We don't know what we're looking for, but we're looking for something bigger, stronger, more powerful than us. We're looking for something or someone to make it all okay. To tell us it's all right. To tell us it's gonna be okay. Move time forward again. It's 2001, September the 11th. I'm on medical leave, but I've been helping out over at another United Methodist church in town with the ministry over there, teaching a class, helping the choir, helping administration-wise in the church. And the word comes of the disaster, the terrorist attack in New York City, the World Trade Center, fire, buildings collapsing, people dying on national television. And after a point, after the first tower had gone down and we're standing in the office watching it on a little black and white television set, I felt my heart was just absolutely being crushed. I couldn't stand it anymore, and I got out of that office and I walked down the hall. And I noticed that somebody had left the doors to the classrooms open. So I walked into one of the children's classrooms where there was a rocking chair, and I sat down in that rocking chair. There's something spiritual about rocking chairs. And I sat there and I rocked for a while, and I prayed for what was going on. I prayed for those who were dying, and I prayed for their families. And I prayed for those who would do such a terrible thing. And as I rocked, with my eyes closed for most of it, I was wondering, where is God? And I remember I opened my eyes and I looked out and I looked across the hall into the room across the hall from the one I was in. And there on the wall was one of those pictures of Jesus. It's actually one of those tacky pictures of Jesus. But in that exact moment, I didn't see any of that, none of the tackiness. I saw the depiction of Jesus' eyes. And they were looking right at me. Where is God in the difficult times? Where is God in the painful times? How can we know God's presence when we can't feel God's presence? It's in those moments when we can't feel that all we can do is tenaciously gritting our teeth spiritually, stepping out in faith, and acting anyway, living anyway, serving anyway, speaking anyway. I don't know how many times in my ministry over the last 18, going on 19 years, that I've stood up in a pulpit and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there was a great big chunk of me that day that would rather be out on the sea or at home reading a book or watching television. Anything but standing up there speaking about this stuff. Because in those moments, there was a great big chunk of doubt sitting right in the middle of my heart. And yet, I'm called as each of you is called. I'm called to live and proclaim the good news of Jesus, the gospel of Christ, the light of God shining forth in a world of deep darkness. The light of God that can cut through the shadows of spiritual night. The light of God that can pierce. You ever been in Carlsbad Caverns? Down on the bottom, when they take you down on those tours and they turn out the lights, and it is absolutely dark. You can't see a thing. And then somebody over on the other group checks their watch by pushing a little button and the light comes on. And you thought someone turned on a search lamp? God's light can burst forth. Shining that way in our own darkest night. It's this true light of God that John was writing about today, in today's gospel lesson. It's the true, real, abiding, transforming light of God that he's writing about here. When he speaks about the light piercing into the world, and those in the world who are God's own not receiving it. That's sort of the dichotomy in today's reading. Those who would think would receive the light don't. The phrase here is the idioi to theou, the ones who belong to God.
And I like to say that in that moment, the idioi become idiots. Because they do not receive, they cannot receive whatever is going on in their lives has caused them to reject the light of God. And then it immediately says, after it talks about the idioi, those who belong to God but don't receive the light, it then says, for those who receive the light, they are given power to become the children of God. Which implies that they weren't before receiving. Wow. The light shines, pierces, breaks into the darkest night of our souls, brightening the gloom. The light breaks forth into the darkest night of our souls. And even through tears, we can get a glimpse of the truth of the love of God. That's what we have in today's reading from John. The light of God breaking in, giving us a glimpse of God. In and through Jesus Christ, the Word of God made flesh and dwelling among us. I toyed with that translation as I played with it all week long and as I adjusted it in its inclusion in our reading in the bulletin today. I played with it, I adjusted it, I toyed with it, I fought with it. Because John bounces back and forth between light and Word. God in Christ. I toyed with the rendering there. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. And I nearly translated it. The Word became physical and dwelled, lived, resided, remained, and abide with us. But then I realized it's not just physicality here. It's fleshiness. It's you and me-ness. The Word became flesh right here. The Word became flesh in my sister here. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Not just 2,000 years ago. Not just in the return of God in Jesus Christ at the end of time, whenever that'll be. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us right here, right now, to pierce through the darkness, the nightmare of the soul. When I ran and I threw my arms around that lady's legs and looked up and discovered it wasn't Mommy, she looked down at me with adoring eyes. My friends, we learn in Jesus Christ about the love of God that pierces the nightmarish darkness and agony of being separated from God and makes us children of God when we simply receive and respond with faith. I want to encourage you this Advent, as we move through this Sunday and into the next, look for the piercing light of God through Jesus Christ in your sisters and brothers in the faith. Look for the piercing light of God even in those whom you don't think of as being part of the family of faith. Look for the piercing light of God shining into the nightmare of the soul, reminding you that you are not alone, that God is there with you, and just like a mother, reaches out to embrace you. run to God. The world may cause you to stumble and fall. Get up and run to God. Throw your arms around God's metaphorical legs. Look up and receive the light of God and believe. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2008 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.